Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time this evening. It's a bit wild and windy outside, Lord, and cold to boot, but good to be in the house of the Lord. Bit of heat going, insulated walls. Some good music and some good fellowship with you and with each other. And I pray, Lord, please, you bless this time that we've set aside. And I pray, Lord, for our sister churches, our brothers and sisters, wherever it is they might be. Please, Father, put your good hand upon each one of us. For those, Lord, that are slipping and sliding, I pray the Lord for a handhold for them, and I pray the Lord for a way back for them. For those that oppose the Lord, I pray for great conviction, and, Lord, of sin and judgment to come. For those that love you, Lord, I pray, please, for a revealing of prophecy and a showing of promises, Lord. Please, Father, I pray. Please protect Israel. Please bless them. Give them a great provision, Lord, and please oppose all those that hate you, Lord, that want to, that are considering badness and wickedness against your people. We love you and praise you. Pray to be one of our number, and we just ask this, and of course for our private prayer requests. We ask them all in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right, that's. Let's start with number 70 in the wee black book. Number 70, I think this is a first for 2023. Let's make a joyful noise. See, amid the winter snow. As love lifted me, your foot will stand as we sing, and if you're not, just remain seated as long as you make a bit of a joyful noise.
Ephesians chapter 2. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. But at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, containing the ordinances, that he make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access to, by one Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and in all the building framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Norman. Going to make a brief stop for any prayer requests. Does anybody have any? Anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody got any thanks? Yes. Go ahead.
For how I've treated
you, sir. For, sorry?
How hard it
is. On the 15th. It's the Switzerland, isn't it?
Yeah.
The land of snow and Swiss bank accounts. Wasn't Switzerland a place that was renowned as being neutral in the war, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the last big war.
You eat your dinner off the streets.
You wouldn't want to eat your dinner off the streets in this country. Well, we will certainly miss you for a service or two, but we will be praying for you and Dr. Shannon and Frank. And we will be praying about your trip over and your trip back. Anybody got any thanks? From ahead?
I had one earlier today and I can't think of it.
Unknown.
I had one. I have thanks for this evening. Now I can't think of that, but I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, I'm glad God's up there and he's looking out for us. The Bible says a lot of times when we forget, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us using words which can't be uttered or have been completely forgotten about. So I'm glad that God loves us. Amen. What about private prayer requests? Anybody got any? Yep. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That'll do. All right. Well, the Lord knows what everything else is. Please do pray for them. Do continue to pray for Winston and Nicolette, young fellow Jordan that was in the bad accident. Please pray for him.
Please do pray for each other. Very important. Don't forget, most importantly, pray for Israel. If you ever get the chance to defend them, don't forget to defend them. The Lord will give you everything that you need, and you will find that it will be worth it all. The Bible says, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. Not about you, but I can do with all the blessings I can get my hands on. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for the desire to be here this evening. I tell you what, just to hear that wind howling out there this evening, Father, just makes me want to get back to the fireplace a little more quickly. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have the health to be here. I'm glad to have the building to be here. I'm glad to have brothers and sisters to be here with them. You know each one of our private prayer requests. You know we have friends and family that don't yet know you, and I pray you, Lord, please, that you would use each one of us to reach out to them. You know the situation in our governments, Lord, and the outright wickedness and devilment that's going on there, and I pray that you would oppose that at every turn, that you would bless them, Lord, that honour you, and that you would oppose them, Father, that hate you. Please bless Israel. I pray it too, Lord, for each one of the soldiers that's fighting their corner for the country. I pray for the government that's organizing them. I pray for those, Lord, that you would bless and keep them. If there's, Lord, you know their situation. Please. Please, Lord, I pray, oppose those that hate the Jews at every turn, but especially, Lord, in Israel at this particular time. We really do need you, Lord. We really do need you as well. You know our private prayer requests. You know our thoughts and our petitions. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. I pray, you, Lord, for those that are going to be getting up and speaking, reading, teaching, for a blessing and an inspiration. And I pray, you, Lord, wherever your gospel is preached, the full counsel of it, you would bless that place and those souls. Please help us now. Please be with Will, Christine, and Mary Ann. Pray for Colin, Lord, for his life, for Pat and Steve, for Carol and Stephen too, Lord. For all those that could be here, for the folks on the road, the people that have gotten gospel tracts or heard the gospel, please save souls. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us and for giving us your son, for saving our souls. And we just pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will, Father. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song. Anybody has one now? Like John down there, just type the number out. Number 11 in the book. Pardon? Immortal, invisible, God only wise. That'll do for me. Number 11 in the wee black book. Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
only. Number 79 in the back of the Wee Black Book. This one is called Do Christian Men Rejoice? And that includes ladies as well. Number 18, we'll stand as we sing. Oh, sorry, number 18 in the music machine. Number 79 in the book, Do Christian Men Rejoice? Corinthians chapter 10, where are we? There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read just the first half dozen of verses of this portion of God's Word. And I want to talk about, I originally had it down as the first battle, but I want to talk about battles. I want to talk about battles this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Word of God says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Amen. That is our first of our Bible verses this evening. I want to talk about battles. Battles. Amen. Let's have a quick prayer and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we just pray your wisdom and guidance as we look at this portion of your word. And Father, that you would give us whatever it is we need out of it this evening. And likewise, for our brothers across the world that are standing to preach and teach the full counsel of your word, please, embolden us, makes wise and strong. And Father, you know. We love you and praise you.
And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a lot of fighting going on in the world right now. And there would be even more going on if the world's attention wasn't on Israel right now. At the moment, the war between Russia and Ukraine is grinding to a halt. By all accounts, Mr. Zelensky has been given American citizenship, and he's probably he's sailing over to America with lots of refugees on his boats, to the 75 million yachts that he had to buy, and he is going to help his fellow countrymen to set up. He's a lying tow rag. He's in it for the money, and he deserves a good kick up the backside, but most of all, he needs to be saved. A lying, thieving git. Excuse my French, but the Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And that has accounted for 500,000 young people in Ukraine, just so he could have $275 million yachts. There are wars on every hand. There are wars and rumors of wars. I would love to tell you, I have a process that you could go through that will get you out of all this and it will absolve you of any responsibility or worry about this. But the Bible says quite plainly, and I'm not coming to the very end of the message, there is no escaping this. These things are going to happen. This portion of scripture that we looked at begins with Paul saying, now, 1 Corinthians was a finger-wagging letter to the church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians was more of a reassuring and an uplifting letter to the church of Corinth. But even at that, Paul was saying, look, I don't want to have to be hard with you, but if I need to be, I will be. I want to come to you as a friend. I want to come to you gently. But he says, this is where we have a little bit of a dilemma. He says in verse 3, and that's like the seesaw, but the pivot in the middle of the seesaw, even though we're in the world, this is not where our battles are to be fought. Yes, you may have to fight to survive, and that's a whole different kettle of fish. But this is not where the real battles, the battles for eternity, are fought. He goes on to say, it's not about a slap in the face, it's not about a knife in the chest, it's not about a bullet in the head, it's not about a bomb taken down a roof, or it's not about a plane or a tank. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if you could just find the person who causes us the most problems and make sure that they never ever forget crossing us? But when it comes to eternal matters, where a home in heaven is what everybody really needs, the worst enemy that anyone can ever have is the person whose face you wash in the morning. Because when it comes right down to it, you have to overcome that, your feelings, your opinions, and what you think as a Christian, to admit that you're wrong, and to call upon the God that sent the Son to die on the cross for your sins, to save your soul. Yes, I know there is opposition in this world. Some of it is spiritual, some of it is just down to greed, to fear, to a multitude of things, but there is opposition. If you want to get anywhere in this world, if you want to overcome this opposition, the only person you need to beat is yourself. I heard a preacher say one time, if you plan on growing as a Christian, or indeed growing in anything, getting better at anything, your only plan should be to be better today than you were yesterday. In whatever sphere that you are moving. I discovered this, and it was quite It was like a wake-up call to me when I was getting better. I saw on Facebook, they were doing a 30 push-up challenge. 30 push-ups for 30 days. Supposed to do something like 900 push-ups in a month. And I was just getting better, and I thought, I remember the last time I did this. I could do 10 press-ups. It shouldn't be too long. I could do 2 press-ups. And then I was a heap on the ground. I thought, well, if I can only do 2, I'm going to keep doing 2 every day, and then maybe at the end of the week, I'll get to 3. And I did. And I kept going like that. At the moment, I'm up to about 40, with a lot of red face and heavy breathing. But that's me. Another one would be if you were doing sit-ups or pull-ups, if it's something physical, the army does the same thing to you. They build you up physically. If you're wanting to build yourself up as a Christian, you might read 1 chapter of the Bible a day. If you want to get to be a better Christian, read 2 chapters. Read a chapter from the Old Testament and a chapter from the New Testament. If you want to read more than that, split the Bible up into chunks and just read through it a chapter at a time. If you want to be a more powerful Christian, spend more time in prayer. But Pastor, I spend 10 minutes in prayer. Great. Next day, spend 11. And see how that goes for a week or 2 or a month. Spend 12. Go at it like that. But you see, whenever you start talking about things like that, there's a part of you that thinks, who do you think you are telling me what to do? There is that part of you. It's in me as well. If someone ever tells me to do something, there's a part of me that says, who do you think you are telling me what to do? I obviously never thought about that about Norman whenever he was instructing in the church. No, I wasn't actually, because I hadn't a clue what I was doing. I was waiting for Norman to say, do this, and I did it, and that was fine. But in all of us, there is a part that doesn't want to be told we're wrong. We want to be told we're right. We want to be patted on the head. You know, like itching ears. You know what Paul said about that? What Paul said about letting your feelings and your opinions dictate the path in your life. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, I control myself and I do what I need to do more than what I feel like doing. So I catch a grip on myself. And if we take the push-ups or even reading the Bible, we can read for hours on Twitter or Facebook or whatever we're watching on YouTube. We can sit and look at a screen for hours. But if someone said, what about reading a chapter of the Bible? Oh, I couldn't do that. I already do that. Or I read my notes or my devotional. That's amazing. And it'll actually be better for reading the Bible. We need to catch a grip of ourselves. If you were to ask any soldier, any conscript, let's put it like that, would you rather lie in your bed for another hour? Would you like to get your 5-mile run out of the way? Oh, I'd rather lie in my bed for an hour. But the 5-mile run is going to build you up and, of course, give you arthritis when you get into your 40s and 50s. But one of the best examples is two or three chapters away from where Norman was reading this evening in Ephesians chapter 6. You'll know this whenever I start reading it. It's about the gospel armor. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we've already covered that, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if there was ever a portion of scripture that was true today, that's it. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's what it says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. And you might think, and I used to pray, Lord, for the whole armour of God. Lord, gird my loins about with the truth. Give me the preparation of the gospel of peace for my feet. A breastplate of righteousness. I feel like, did you ever see Iron Man where he pulled the case on like that there and all the armour appeared around him and he had this, that and the other? A lot of people think that is the way that you put on the whole armour of God. But each one of those things comes from you saying to yourself, I'm not going to watch TV for 15 minutes, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm not going to do something else frivolous for 10 minutes, I'm going to take a few of those minutes and talk to the Lord. Or I'm in a situation where if I tell a little white lie, it'll get me out of a lot of bother, but if I tell the truth, I'm going to get into bother. So I'm going to tell the truth. And then in future, I'm going to make sure I'm not doing anything that I need to tell the truth and it'll get me into bother. It's not something that slaps onto you like a superhero suit. It's something that grows on you as you walk with God. Because the first time that you talk to someone and tell them the truth, they'll go away and eventually they will find out you told the truth. Hey, Norman told the truth. Not that it's a surprise, but you know what I mean. Norman told the truth, or Mark told the truth. And then the next time they speak to you, and you tell the truth again, hey, they told the truth. And the next time, and you tell the truth. And then someday they'll come along and they will ask you a question that is, well, of eternal consequences. And they will know that the answer that you give them is the truth. And that is how we girt about our loins with the truth. Our chest with the breastplate of righteousness is good Christian standards. And people will only find out about the breastplate of righteousness that you wear by keeping company with you and seeing them and saying, no, I'm not going to the pub. No, I'm not spending the night chasing wee boys or wee girls. We're not going to mug someone. I'm not stealing any money. I'm going to do the right thing. That's a very simple, it's a very simple example. But one of the greatest examples in this is the Shield of Faith. Anybody ever watched those old shows? I think there was a film out a few years back called The 300. I don't know if you ever saw it. And there was the king of Babylon, I think, told his men to fire all these arrows, and the sky was black with arrows, and the guy says, every one of them had this shield about 2.5 foot wide. They put them up over their heads, and they bent down, and all the shields came together and protected them. The Romans were renowned for doing that. You don't want a wee shield the size of your hand whenever the sky is black with arrows, friends. You want a huge shield that you can completely take shelter in, and that is called the shield of faith. And you build that shield of faith day by day when you take what God says over what you feel or what you're tempted to do or what the world says. Because I am going to tell you something right now. The world changes its opinions and its directions almost daily. 2.5 years ago, Black Lives Matter, everyone was concerned about black people and how they were severely picked upon. And Black Lives Matter was getting funding from everywhere, and we found out recently that there are a bunch of thieves and liars stealing all the money and are being put into court for this, that, and the other, and it's all a lie. You want to believe what the Bible says, where it says all men are of one blood. Just slightly different amounts of melanin in her skin, that's it. You want to believe that there is a God when the world said there isn't a God? Because you say, my shield of faith, it'll catch those fiery darts. God is real, and someday you're going to meet him face to face, and you'll have to answer that. That's what we're talking about. It grows every time you use your knowledge of God's word and his promises to you in the face of what the world wants you to do. Your faith grows, and this is what we need. Flipping pages here, so give me a second. All of these things require a walk with God. They require time in God's presence. They require time in God's service. They require time with the brethren, fellowshipping, worshiping, teaching, and preaching. But there's a plus side. It's not just, oh, I have to serve the Lord today, and it's going to be tricky. It's going to be hard. It's going to be sore. Oh, we're not in the Presbyterian church. We're in the Baptist church. We're saved and we're going to heaven. There's a plus side. When the soldier has been chased out of his bed at 5 o'clock every morning for 6 months or 9 months, whatever length of time it is, and he's made to do 2 or 3 hours of PT every morning, and he's as fit as a fiddle, it doesn't cost him a thought to hop out of his bed and do great amounts of work because he's fit for it. And it's the same for us as Christians. When you trust God over what the world says, that's a peace that the world can't give you. There's an assurance in God that the world can't give. The world's a bunch of liars. It's beyond them. It's beyond their ability to provide. It's beyond their ability to understand. But it's there for the soul that loves God. Why do we need those things? And it's not just the assurance. It's not just the peace of God. It's the Bible promises that at the end of your life, when you look back on it, you'll be able to say, everything worked out for the best. I loved the Lord. I was saved and did what he asked me to do. There's benefits. There's assurance. There's surety. There is peace that you're going in the right direction. Things that people have made little of. And their lives quite literally explode in themselves. Because they don't have the things that build Christian personalities, good characters. Why do we need these things? Because they're quite literally, there are battles being fought all the time in our lives. Not for land and not for oil and not for a wee bit of territory or to shift a border, but for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And it's being fought against the lies that are being told and the temptations that come into people's lives day in and day out. It's being fought against the liars that stand in churches promote themselves on the internet, promising you the world and delivering nothing. And leaving people like chewing gum that's been chewed up and spat out. And there's a reason that God says this. Because regardless of the piece of land, and regardless of the number of people, we'll take Ukraine for right now, at least 500,000 people dead because some cross-dressing midget gulping wanted $275 million yachts. A single soul is more important than all of that. A single soul. The Lord said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? And that's much more than a couple of billion in the bank and two yachts worth $75 million. One soul is worth more than it all. And Jesus came to give his life, not for every soul, but for each soul. That's important. It's individual. It's not en masse. And Jesus wants each soul with him through the end of stages of eternity. But they're not going to do that unless they hear the gospel. Now, I don't know about you. I remember going to work in my uncle's hotel at 13, and I was the youngest person there. There was one girl, I think her birthday was maybe a month after mine. And we were the two youngest people in the hotel. And I used to take great joy for a couple of years in being the young pup, the kid that got away with anything because it was too young and it had no sense. But I'm not anymore. I have lived long enough to see what's real and what's not. I have lived long enough to see the liars and the thieves and see the damage that it does to people. And the guy behind it all, the old devil, he's a real dog in the manger. You ever heard of that saying, dog in a manger? A manger is from the French to eat, and it was Jesus was born in a manger. It's just like a trough that they would throw straw and grass into for the ox. But there's a story, if a dog was in the manger and be barking at the ox and barking at the horse or the donkey, and it wouldn't let them near it, it can't make any use of it, but won't let anybody else into it. And the devil is so intent on making sure you go to hell if you're lost. If he can get you to the end of your life without making a decision for Christ, he's happy. That's one in your eye, God, he'll say. But he's never going to be able to see them. He's not going to be able to help them. He doesn't want anything to do with them, even in hell, because they continually remind him of God, because we're made in God's image. He's a dog in the manger. When God saves you, it's because he loves you. It's because he wants your company through the endless ages of eternity, and he knows it's best for you. He is a loving father, and he will continue to help us in the meantime right here. If a soul hears the gospel of Christ, have you ever come across a wee verse of scripture that said, one man sows, in other words, one man speaks the gospel to somebody. Another man reaps. Another, somebody else will come along just at the right time, and that person that heard the gospel, who knows how long ago, will say, I'm ready to get saved. Tell me how to get saved. And that man will reap. But in between that, the Bible says, but God giveth the increase. God is not waiting for you or me to make people Christians. He is just asking that we preach the gospel, or be ready to point that person to the foot of the cross. If they hear the gospel of Christ from you, maybe they'll see a Christian living by faith, living the words that they speak somewhere else. And maybe they'll sit and think, and I did, hey, those people actually look happy in church. That man's singing was absolutely dreadful. But he wanted to sing to praise the Lord. He didn't care whether it was in tune. He made a joyful noise. And I thought, that never happened at school. Whenever I was at school, if they wanted singers, they picked the best singer. That was me. I would sing for them. The voice of an angel in the heart of a devil. This man had a voice that sounded like a rock grinder. And he asked to sing and praise the Lord in church, and people were happy for him. And that made a great impression upon me. And if it does it for me, a wicked old sinner, it will do it for somebody else. The Holy Spirit will work away in the background in people if we are faithful and deliver the gospel. The gospel that can sit in the back of a person's mind and work away in the back of a person's mind. The life that you lead for Christ is Christ advises you and commands you will make a difference in the eyes of someone that has heard the Holy Spirit. And someday they will either repent and believe and be saved for the endless ages of eternity, or they will reject and be damned to the hell and the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity. But God doesn't want that. God is a loving Father and a faithful King. And he's not going to send us out empty-handed. In his word, he is the key to all of his promises and his provision, his protection, his strength, everything that we need. And if there was one psalm, if there were one portion of scripture that summed it up, it would be Psalm 18, or it would be 2 Samuel 22. I used to think it was 2 Samuel 22 only, but it's in the Psalms as well. And I'm going to read this. And this is a promise to you, to help you through this life, to overcome the enemies of which we have two living with us, the world and the flesh, and the devil, of course, as well. He didn't think twice about tempting the Lord. He'll not think twice about tempting you. I mean, this is what the psalmist says. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. How's about that? Walk with the Lord, and he will reward you. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from from me. In other words, I walked with the Lord. I was also upright before him. I did it for the right reason. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. In other words, you oppose God, he'll oppose you. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, and the Lord will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. I take it that's a piece of armor. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. And I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle, and thou hast subdued under me all those that rose up against me. For thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. You may have to use that physically someday, but generally speaking, Christian, that is talking about you in your own house at any time with all of the things that come at you from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I pray that you realize that God's way in every aspect of life, which is why they take men apart from the world to train them as soldiers in every part of their life, is the best way for a Bible believer. I walked with God, talked with God, I listened when he spoke, and I obeyed when he commanded. And I have been able to do the impossible, even the unimaginable. Remember Peter walking on the water? Run through a troop, leap over a wall? How many times do we see things and just say, that's just far too much for me. That's too much, I can't cope. Put your eyes on God, spend some time in prayer with him, and get up and do it. You will find the strength is there for you. The numbers of different things we have thrown against us will fail before the wisdom and the evidence and the provision of God. I always love the promise of God to make your feet like hinds' feet. Do you ever see the mountain goats? Literally running up the side of a mountain, you would almost think they could run up a vertical wall. They can jump from ledge to ledge, they can climb literally where no man can climb, they can. And God says, he'll make your feet like those feet. You will go places where normally people couldn't go. And you will serve the Lord there. And it will be unbelievable. He will enable you to contend with all comers and have the victory. One of my favorite verses, especially for these last days, is Isaiah 40:31, where the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. They will renew their strength, they'll run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. And that is a really butchered version of that. That's God saying it. Listen to me. Do things my way. And half the stuff that happens to people in the world won't even bother you. Oh, I can't go out drinking this weekend. It's not going to bother me. I don't go out drinking. Oh, my girlfriend's expecting. That's not going to bother me because I don't go out sleeping around the country. Oh, I think I might have AIDS. That's not going to bother me because I haven't been involved in any dubious sexual practices. We'll mount up with wings as eagles, we'll fly over a lot of this stuff that is nothing but needless drama and actually life threatening carry on. Does anyone remember the Lord speaking to the woman at the well? Jesus spent an hour or two talking to her while the disciples were away into town to get food. And they came back and said, "We've got lunch." And Jesus says, "I have meat that you know not of." They go, "Did someone slip in some lunch?" He said, "Look, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." You will be encouraged. And you will be encouraged to go on in God when you let him work in your life. You can win. Do you know what the plan is? The plan is for us to retire to heaven. When the race is run, when the battle has been fought and won, the plan is to retire to heaven with our Father and with all of those that have gone on before us. That's the plan. And you know what? I have read the last couple of pages in the book, and that's exactly what happened. And you might say, "Well, Mark, those things haven't happened yet. That could be a work of fiction." Well, I'm going to tell you something. Back in the days when Daniel was writing about the world kingdoms, they hadn't happened yet, but here's us with the benefit of about 2,500 years of hindsight, see every single kingdom that he prophesied actually come to pass. And it's happened time and time again. Zechariah, Jeremiah, Israel's on the news. What did the Bible say about Israel? It would come under attack from all comers, and they will be victorious every time. The only man that will give them a run for their money is the Antichrist. He's not in power yet. But he's coming. We win. Sometimes battles can be long. Sometimes it can be incredibly short and bloody. It's the same for souls. You might be the guy that is, or the gal that's lucky enough, forgive that word, blessed enough to share the gospel with a person, or just as I did one time, walk out with something in your pocket and go back and say, "Look, I just walked out with this in my pocket, I need to pay for it." And someone get an example of what being a Christian is worth, what it will do for you. You might be the one. It might cost you a couple of pence, it might cost you thousands of pounds. If you're trying to reach someone, it might be the job of a moment, or it could be a whole lifetime trying to get them. It might be your life even, as they watch how you live and as you draw to the end how you die. But bear this in mind. The war was won 2,000 years ago. Even the devil doing his worst, all that he did was fulfill the word of God. Christ was paid, the debt was cleared for any that repent of their sins and trust in Christ and only say, "That's done and busted." But there are still survivors out there and even rescued. Even when the fighting's all done, there's always people needing help to get back on their feet, and that's where we come in. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working with us, for us, and through us. And someday, when the last battle is won, when this, as the Bible says, mortal puts on immortality and our sin nature is gone, someday we'll see the Savior in all his glory face to face. And we'll be glad we did what we did. And we'll probably be saying, "You know what? Did anybody here see a film with Liam Neeson that came out maybe 15, 20 years ago, Schindler's List? Remember the last few minutes of that as he was driving away, because he was a member of the Nazi party and he had gold rings and he had a nice car. And he saved hundreds of Jewish people from the concentration camps. As he was going away, the realization dawned on him. I could have sold that ring and saved another life. I could have sold this car and saved two more lives. I could have done more." That's the way we'll feel when we get to heaven. I know sometimes it just gets a bit, it gets a bit much. And that is why we need to keep walking close with God. We literally need the glory of God in our lives to keep our heads screwed on and to give us a reason sometimes to get up in the morning. There's people that need to hear the gospel. My dad says, I don't need all these things. I don't need the party. I don't need the drink. He says, as long as my family's fine, I'm happy. That's the way God feels about us. As long as his family's fine, he's happy. There's battles to be fought. But the war's already won. Whatever God sets in front of you, he sets it in front of you because you or I, we are the perfectly outfitted. God has everything tailored to us and we're perfectly outfitted to do what he has in front of us. And whether it's a word, whether it's a whispered word or a shouted word, whether it's a piece of paper or whether it's a heartfelt testimony, God calls, be like little Samuel. Just say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Don't be afraid. Remember wee David? Remember as a young buck? He fought the lion and the bear, trusting in the Lord, and he fought Goliath just in the same way. You can do impossible things whenever God is with you. Remember what the Lord said? With man, these things are impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for a good time. God bless you this evening. Has anybody got a closing hymn that we could sing? A suggestion or an idea before I get there? We could maybe sing in the bleak midwinter because it feels a bit like that tonight, doesn't it? Let's do number 76 at the back of the wee black book. Number 76 at the back of the wee black book. And stand as we stand.
Oh.
Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, just for everything, Lord, for saving our souls, for giving us your Son, Christ Jesus, for all the many helps and revelations you have sent to us, for all the fulfilled prophecies in your word, Lord, just for the promise and the assurance of salvation and the many helps that you've included in your word. Please don't be done with us, Lord, please, I pray. Whenever you look for us, Lord, I pray that you would find us walking more closely with you, spending more time fellowshipping with you, especially in these days, Lord, that get dark and dark. I pray you, please, that you would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. I pray you, Lord, for people as they drive the roads of the province, that you would just look after them. I saw a branch or two down on the road earlier on. Please spare lives, I pray you, Father. Please bless Israel. Please oppose those that oppose Israel, Lord, and please bless those that bless them. Father, we pray your good hand upon our family and friends. Please save those that don't know you, Lord. Please bless those that do. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your word. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you. We're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship. And jump for the hills.